Hello there. This is Tony Schwartz with Sounds from New York City. And as you know, I like to consider my program a sort of sound magazine, and I generally like to include several articles. And today I have two articles. One is on the New York City subway system, and here is my sound story on the New York City subway system. We are listening to the sound of a subway train roaring into the 59th Street station. The subway in New York City interconnects four of the city's five boroughs: Manhattan, Brooklyn, the Bronx, and Queens. Most of the system's many miles of track run under the streets, and in all probability, if you have to travel far, it's the cheapest means of public transportation. The sound we are listening to now is the sound of people putting their 15-cent tokens into the turnstiles and entering our city's Underground Railroad. The sound of the running subway train, many, many tons of metal, running over steel tracks in an enclosed, reverberant tunnel, can be deafening. Here, we are inside a subway car. I've asked some of the riders actually how long a trip they take on the subway.
I spend about 2 hours a day on the subway.
At this time, I ride 30 minutes on the subway. A while back, it was about a little over an hour each way.
Well, in the morning, I usually ride about 15 minutes, and in the evening, I ride about 25 minutes.
Every day?
3.5 hours a day on the subway.
Although the sound of the subway can be deafening, when you can listen to it through your radio or high-fidelity phonograph, you can hear a beauty in it. Listen. What kind of feelings do people have about subway riding?
Well, I think they're very fast, so that I use it as much as I can because it's the fastest mode of transportation in New York. But on the other hand, I get kind of depressed. If I'm feeling bad that day and I go down to a subway, I feel awful. The crowding is really, wow, I mean, that's really something in New York, boy. You can get on and it's so crowded that you can't get off at your stop. You know, you have to wait. You have to kind of inch yourself before you get up to the stop, and everybody says, are you getting off here behind you, you know, and they're pushing and everybody's leaning, you can't use your hands.
Well, at the time I travel, it's pretty good. It's not quite during rush hour, and it's a little before the trains are running slowly.
I have a trapped feeling in the subway. First, I hate the noise, and I hate the smell. It upsets me physically.
You know, if a train stops in the middle of the, before the, or after the platform, and the first thing I do is look out the window and see where I'm at. And then I see the dark walls. You know, then you start thinking, well, how am I going to get out of here? And you look around, everybody else is kind of calm, so then you're calm in one way. But inside, you're wondering, you know, if there's a fire or something, how are you going to get out of here? But then it's always, everybody seems so quiet and peaceful about it that it takes off the, you're feeling scared yourself. This stopped a lot of times with me between stations, you know, I'm kind of leaning over a little bit, but I mean, nothing happens. I usually wait for something. It stops and then it picks up again.
Just yesterday, I was talking to my uncle, and I suggested to him that he wait till I could drive him to the hospital to see his brother-in-law. He said, why, I like to take the subways. And I said, well, what do you mean? He says, well, when I get into the subway, I know I can relax. I can look out of the window. I can listen to what other people say. I can read my newspaper. I can read a book. I can dream. I can sleep. I can wake. I can do what I choose.
You're never sure to getting to your destination. More so now with the trains breaking down for any and every reason. And many a time, we'd be halfway, you know, to our home or to come into New York, and lo and behold, that's it. The red light's blinking and we're stuck for a half hour.
I like the subway for its quickness of transportation, simplicity of getting where I want to. I don't like the crowds in it, to be very frank. And it's rather filthy, but I find it's the quickest and easiest way to get around New York City. I prefer it to taxis, to buses, to anything.
And I've wondered what improvements the people would like to see in their city subway.
Well, for one thing, I'd like to see a true air-conditioned car. It may not have to do with the subway, but if the bigger corporations in New York City would stagger their going home hours, I'm sure that there wouldn't be so many breakdowns in the subway system, and you'd stand more of a chance to get a seat.
Well, the train that I take could stand improvement in service. Not faster trains, but faster service. More trains.
I would like to see some sort of soundproofing system inside the subway cars. I would want to know if there could be some improvement in ventilation to rid one of that static electric smell.
Paint the things up a little bit. It's so dark down there.
I would like the subway cleaned up a little bit. A little better light at the interior. Very often you come up to make a train, and there's a local, an express standing, a local comes in, and right when the local comes in, they'll close the express, not giving people an opportunity to get into it.
The next article in my magazine for today is about Abraham Lincoln. This being February is the month in which we commemorate the birth of Abraham Lincoln, and it's almost 100 years since he died, and I wondered what picture of Abraham Lincoln remained in the minds of people. And I took my tape recorder around New York and just spoke to the people of our city and asked one question. Who was Abraham Lincoln?
It seems to me that he read the Bible a great deal.
He let all the Negroes go. And he cut out slavery.
He was just sort of a quiet, common man, pretty shy.
A lot of people won't even work that day. It's Lincoln's birthday.
Gee, you hear so much about what a terrific guy he was and all, but I don't really feel like like I know him personally.
I think he was a nice man.
His nickname was Honest Abe.
Well, he was a very strong man and tall man. He had a beard.
But a man shot him one day while he was attending some kind of ball or something.
Abraham Lincoln's the one on the penny. I think he was a president. I think in 1949.
Well, Abraham Lincoln is known around the world, and it's interesting to see what some people from other parts of the world think about him.
Oh, yes, Honest Abe, yeah, he's famous for that, and of course the log cabin one. Everybody knows the man born in the log cabin and finishing up in the White House. If there was a White House then, was there? And Honest Abe, yeah. Oh, that's famous.
Where did you first hear of him?
In school, we used to have to do an American history period that goes along with European history. It's a separate subject in England, at any rate. And that's where I first heard about him, but I don't really know too much about him. I do think it was round about the Civil War, am I right?
It's interesting to see what picture children have of history. And here's a child giving a historical picture, or I'd say a picture of history in a capsule in relation to Abe Lincoln's period.
Well, Abraham Lincoln, he was a very poor boy, and he was self-educated by himself. And so when he grew up, everybody began to like him for his honesty, and say they liked him so much that they elected him president, and he became the 16th president. And then down south there was a lot of slaves, and he didn't like that because he said all men are created equal, so he wanted to free them. So he sent down troops and all, and then there was a war, and finally the war ended, and he got what he wanted. The slaves were free.
It's interesting to see how many children have a concept of Abraham Lincoln, and this concept is passed on through many versions of the same story, and the facts can all differ, but the story and the concept of the story will come through.
He ran about 2.5 miles just because a woman gave him 2 cents too much for something that he had bought.
He's a very honest man, and if he made you a promise, he would keep it. He was just honest. Like if he borrowed something from you and you went back at a certain time, he would bring it back.
When he was a man, he worked in a store, and they called him Honest A because he owed a lady money. I don't know how much it was, but he came, I think it was 4 miles, to bring the money to her.
One day when he was a boy, when he went to the store, the storekeeper gave him 2.5 cents too much, and he discovered that when he was home, and he ran more than a mile to give it back.
Another association that many children have with Abe Lincoln, again based on the stories they hear, is his relation to books.
He was brought up in a log cabin, and he learned all the stuff from books and in other cabins where men was always talking together and everything.
When he was a child, he had to walk about 12 miles to get books that he read. He wanted to learn that bad.
Once he was splitting rails for a farmer because he wanted to borrow a book from him. And then it was raining, and he was bringing the book back, and the book got all wet, and the print smeared. So for a long time after that, he kept on splitting rails to pay back for it.
He loved to read books, but he didn't have many books. And he borrowed a book, and he put it through some wood in the cabin, and it rained, and the book was ruined. And so the man that owned it, he had to work for him, and he worked, and it became his book.
Even in the Bronx, in New York, one can get a picture of Abe Lincoln.
And it's the same thing with Lincoln. You have a peculiar kind of idea, a peculiar kind of a notion about a man, because he becomes, you know, like his face is carved in a rock someplace, and, you know, there's all of the myth about him, but the myth escapes me because I'm from the Bronx, and at the same time, coming from the Bronx, as I say, and also it all comes down to the public school system and my, you know, it has to do with education. The ideas of what I learned about Lincoln was not that I learned anything about him, but I got feelings about him. He never became a man for me in relationship, but that might have been my fault, see, because I was so busy not, like, paying attention to everything. But as I say, it's all of the things that I remember about, this is my problem.
An older white woman from the South has a story to tell about Abe Lincoln.
Well, he was at a banquet. Lincoln was at a banquet in Illinois. And as you remember, they wore those great big stovepipe hats. So he put his hat down in a chair next to him, and some very stout woman eased into the side of Mr. Lincoln and sat right down on his hat. So, of course, she jumped up and apologized to him. And he said, "That's quite all right, madam." He says, "I knew the minute you sat down it wouldn't fit."
And to close our magazine for today, a memory of Lincoln from an older Negro woman, again from the South.
He would walk a mile to make peace with somebody, you know, just like a uprising some way. He was always, if he got word, he would always go and make peace for everybody, get everybody pleased on both sides. People, at first, some of them would disagree, but in the end, he would win out.
Well, that's Sounds from New York for today. See you next month.